You're listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast by fans
from the IUBase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Yoana Richardson launches it out to left center. Piacentino is back at the wall.
Welcome back to another edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. This is being recorded on St. Patrick's Day, Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. I'm Chris Feeney. I'm joined by the master of the RPI, Carl James, the creator of IUBase.com, Josh Bennett, but not by the stack guru, Cassidy Palmer. She's actually interviewing with NASA right now because her statistics apparently are going to be included in the newest NASA project. Good luck out there, Cass. All right, folks, so for a weekly recap, we got a four-game series. Obviously, it was all against one team this time. We played Penn State at the BART. Game one, when we got there on Friday, or at least when I got there on Friday, I was able to, because of my work schedule, get there for that 1 o'clock start, which then got moved to 2 o'clock a little suspiciously because there was no rain in the forecast. And we got there, I think we started realizing what was going on, that Coach Mercer had tested positive for COVID. And in a real ironic twist, like, that's when we really learned about COVID. The first time was at the BART when all those things were coming out about the Big Ten canceling and leagues canceling. And I gotta tell you, it felt really similar. Like, everyone's just looking at their phones and no one's really paying attention to what's going on in the field. I mean, Penn State was still taking BP then, but no one really cared. Everyone was like, what is going on? And then, you know, there was an announcement over the loudspeaker telling people, you know, this is canceled, what had happened, and that you know, that coach had some light symptoms, but he did test positive twice, you know, on the second test. And that, you know, the day was done. And we didn't know series-wise. We didn't know season-wise. And I thought maybe the whole weekend was over. And there wouldn't have been a weekly recap to go and talk about. But luckily, we were out there the very next day for a doubleheader Saturday. In game one, we put up 7 runs behind Tommy Summers. Great performance. He had one bad inning. But, you know, besides that, it was Tommy being Tommy. Can't get enough of watching him pitch. Always keeping guys off balance. He always has such a good plan. I know a lot of these young arms learn a lot from watching Summer. Stahl came in after that. Lights out. Okay, this kid is good. We got to look at him at some of those early games last year. Nate Stahl is for real. You know, maybe he didn't come in with the accolades of somebody else, but he took care of the rest of that game and picked up the save. Now, game two was another animal. All right, you had McCabe Brown coming out. I really didn't know what to expect. And to be honest, part of what I did expect was maybe some sloppiness, maybe some, oh man, watching your own headlines type thing. And then you come home for your next game and you don't really have it as good. And he took them out in the first and he didn't have it that good. You know what I mean? A couple of walks, he's in trouble. And then it started. And it was 9 out of 10 Ks and nobody's getting on base. And Chick-fil-A was happy that the contest was over. Because the man put up 16 Ks. He set the record for a Big Ten game. He tied the record for a regular season game. And it was just, it was really amazing to watch. I was telling somebody, you know, before we recorded this, like a lot of times I might take a walk or take a break, you know, after our hitters are up. No. I was taking a walk and taking a break while our hitters were up. I didn't want to miss an inning of Brown pitching. Guy had a no-hitter. It's a 1-0 game. We can say it was a no-hitter now. We couldn't during the game, but outstanding. 1-0, inning after inning after inning. And he's just mowing dudes down. It was really special to be there. Again, thank you to IU University letting us cover this stuff because that thing was legit. Game three, the next day, and I feel like it was like one continued game. I don't know. Maybe the time was different, and we lost that hour on the Sunday thing. Got Ty on the mound. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. He's mowing people down. All of a sudden, he hits that bad inning. And again, there's some trepidation. What's going to happen with these freshmen? I know Ty's not a freshman, but you know what I mean. Starter, a new starter. He gets out of that trouble. You know, a couple more 1-2-3 innings. And he kept the game where it needed to be. All right, were we down? Sure. Were we out of it? No way. This team can rally. This team can come back. It reminded me a lot of the game against Minnesota where we didn't get like 7 runs in one inning, but we slowly chipped away inning by inning. And then we're sitting there. You know, whatever was down to bottom of the 9th, bottom of the 7th, whatever you want to call it. you know, Ashley gets on, and it's just like, what's going to happen? Well, Southern got on too, and this kid hits an oppo bomb moonshot, Grant Richardson. Like, the outfielders gave it, that wasn't a courtesy jog. They had thought they had a shot at the thing. Wins it, the place goes nuts. I might have cheered a little bit in my mind, okay? Not as a media member, of course, but I might have cheered a little in that moment. So you got those two back-to-back games were like, no joke, between McCabe Brown and Grant Richardson. Game four, you had Gabe Bierman, right? The highlight of the weekend was watching Gabe Bierman, you know, in the past. And here it's like, oh, and you get Bierman to start the next game. We are so loaded. He had a quality start, you know what I'm saying? Close game all the way through. And as expected, Coach Parker puts on the squeeze play. And the veteran, the wily veteran, Jeremy Houston, takes care of business and gets it done. And what we're looking at here is the closer of this team comes in and wraps that up too with Litwicky. So many bright things about the weekend. You know, we don't want the recaps to be too long, but for this one, it really could have been. It was really impressive weekend. We didn't know what was going to happen from the start. We didn't know if they were going to play a game, and we swept the whole damn thing. So a very successful weekend for both sides, offense, defense, and really basically everything in general. Now, what we'll look at is Hoosier highlights, right? First, we usually do one Hoosier highlight, maybe because Cass is doing a nasty thing or just because it was such a good weekend. Now I got to come up with two, they told me. So, you know, my first one was obvious. And my first one, and I looked it up because I knew Cass was busy with her space shuttle and what she's doing. Carl, do you remember where you were on a certain Saturday in May last year when you were on a road trip to see a certain Hoosier team play on the road?
Mm-hmm.
May, maybe. Who were they playing?
You mean
2 years ago.
You did
some post-game. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was Michigan.
Okay, you're playing Michigan, right?
Yeah.
That Saturday game, believe it or not, was the last time Drew Ashley didn't get on base. That's incredible. That's 10 more games after that. This is 2019. There were 10 games more after that, all right? That included what? The Big Ten title, the push down the stretch to win the conference title. That included, all right, the Big Ten title didn't go that well, but he got on base. The Louisville region. Now we're going into 2020, every damn game, whether it was at LSU or at DeBart or some good non-conference arms that we were going against. 33 consecutive games. 33 consecutive games, I think, is incredible. So to track this and really celebrate it and give it what it deserves, I think, is a big deal. Definitely one of my Hoosier highlights. For my second one, I mean, I do know who won the red belts, so I'm not going to, you know, give out one of those as the Hoosier highlight. But what I really liked, and I touched on him a few minutes ago, is Nate Stahl. What he shows every time he takes that mound, we're looking at a guy who I think would be a Friday or a Saturday starter in some other teams in the Big Ten. And it's real impressive what he does whenever he takes that mound. And for him to finish out that first game, I'm going to go with Nate Stahl as my second Hoosier highlight. What about you, Josh?
All right. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I have two specific highlights that I want to point out this week. The first one, if you've been listening to this show at all for any amount of time, you're going to know exactly where I'm going to go with this one. It's going to be the seventh inning of game four, a 1-1 game, and Herbisky, the starter, was absolutely cruising. Didn't have much, couldn't do much with him. Started out the inning with a strikeout, and then Murison came up and hustled down the line and beat out an infield hit. Then Hunter Jesse came up with a big pinch hit single to put it at first and third, and that knocked Herbisky out of the game. So Jeremy coming up, first and third, 1-1 game, getting late, one out, just the perfect scenario for the squeezed bunt. Did it on the first pitch, which I love, because more than likely you're not going to, if you're the Penn State coach, you're not going to get your pitcher coming into jam behind, you know, giving him a free ball to start with. So just executing that play, getting the bunt down, Merson comes in to score, which ends up being the game-winning RBI. That's definitely my first Hoosier highlight. And then my second one is going to be game three, down 5-1, getting late. We need seven outs. Somebody in the bullpen's got to step up to get us out of that without any more runs being scored, because running out of outs, only had nine left at that point, and Connor Maness came in and got seven outs on 17 pitches, which is what helped them stay in the game and ultimately gave Grant the chance to walk it off. So, Carl, how about you?
Well, for me, I'm going to piggyback right off where you were talking about, which was down 5-1 in that third game, and being a 7-inning game. That's, you know, that those are dangerous. Those 7-inning games are dangerous. And yes, there was the heroics by Grant, but what really set that up was the home run by Machocki. That home run did two things. First of all, obviously, it put another run on the board, so they took it from 5-1 to 5-2. But I think it was more important that is what forced Penn State to go to their bullpen, and then gave IU another set of pitchers to look at, and a few different opportunities to get at that bullpen, and right up to the end, it is when it finally happened. So I'm going to start with Machocki's home run. And then in that fourth game, you know, we've kind of gotten used to him over the last few years, but that was a quality start from Gabe Bierman. That final game, and boy, was it necessary. as you mentioned, you know, it was a sacrifice bunt to score that final run. But, you know, two runs is what IU had in that game to play with. And Gabe Bierman, that quality start kept the game manageable, and it gave an opportunity that even though the offense wasn't clicking, you know, it made it to where, hey, a sack bunt was enough to get a win. Chris, so who gets this week's red belt?
All right. Thanks, Carl. I got to say, last week was difficult. This week, not so much. now, I know sometimes I go through like to see who filled up the scorecard and maybe like, oh, this guy had a really good couple of games. I'm sorry. If you hit a three-run bomb walk-off when you're down two and you last at bat, you get the red belt. So Grant Richardson reminding us of a day when Matt Lloyd hit a bomb off an apartment building, right? And I think he only had like one other hit the whole series. He still got the damn red belt because that's how you do something like that. So Grant stepped up when we needed most. He gets the red belt. For the pitching red belt, let me think. Come on. McCade Brown, the national pitcher of the week. K after K after K. Chick-fil-A loves that they're not in on this one. So many Ks. If he's going to do that every time at home, I know Sal Frank almost ran him out of business a couple years ago. But McCade was amazing. I talked about it in the recap. It's a special night or a special afternoon when you watch something like that. You know, I've seen a few at Shea, whether it was Doc, or I've seen when Pedro, we picked up Pedro. There's something just special of a pitcher when Harvey, before he got hurt, and he takes over the game, and you can't leave your seat, even though your team's not up, and you want something like that to just continue. And when it's 1-0, even better. I mean, that's gold. I'll take that anytime. The nerves, and it was like LSU. Who was it? Tucker had the no-hitter, inning after inning after inning. We had that small lead. Stuff like that is like, that's my favorite. I know I'm old or something, but, you know, some people want 8-7. Give me the 1-0 when the guy's throwing a gem, making people look silly. Give me that. McCade gets the red belt for the Joey Donato. And then for the defensive red belt for the Tony Butler, we're going to give it to Fucci for his play on Saturday with Summer on the hill. He dove to the line, all right? He probably shut down a double, and then they were able to make the play at first. There wasn't anything else too outstanding on the field. If I had to give an honorable mention, maybe Jeremy Houston looked solid out there. I didn't really see many major issues behind the plate, which is always a good thing. You know, I feel like the catcher is like the offensive lineman, right? Like you only hear his name when something bad happens, where there's a penalty or something. But really, defense was really good. The Fucci will pick up the Tony Butler red belt for this week, and Grant Richardson and McCade Brown will fill out our three. You know, it could be a battle to the end. Somebody else has to start winning belts, though, or it's going to be a pretty early crown for those guys.
All right, it's mailbag time. Carl gets the first question this week. So, Carl, do we really expect Ball State to be hosting a regional this season? The RPI is looking kind of odd at the moment.
Well, it is at that, but yes, the Ball State Cardinals are, if the season ended today, the Ball State Cardinals would be hosting the Muncie Regional. And what a regional it would be. And in fact, IU would probably be the 2 seed in the Muncie Regional. Imagine that. Okay, guys, it's March 17th. A lot of programs have only been playing for 2 weeks, like the Big Ten. Yes, Ball State has been playing a little bit longer. Yes, Ball State has a series win at Kentucky and a series split at Arizona. Those are really nice resume winners. They are number 9 in RPI. But RPI is very dependent upon a significant amount of data. And I'm talking 25 plus games for every team in the country. As we know, the Big Ten has played 7 or 8 games. Ball State has played 13 games. So yes, they actually generate a number, but it's not at this point significant. A lot of these cases happen and then eventually they work themselves out over time. And in fact, this past weekend, Ball State, you know, got swept at Old Dominion. So, and it didn't really hurt their RPI because Old Dominion is currently 12-4. It tells you a little bit in April, but really only if you kind of project it out as to what's going to happen. RPI is all about what happens at the end of May. And what is the RPI the day before Selection Monday, Memorial Day? That's the day RPI matters. And when I analyze RPI, I look at what is it going to be on that day. And I am reasonably certain that Ball State is not going to have a top 16 RPI come late May. And that if Indiana has to travel, it's probably going to be a little bit farther than Muncie for a regional. So next question. This question comes from a Daniel K from Virginia. He submitted his question via a video clip. The question, though, is directed at associate head coach and current acting head coach, Justin Parker. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Chris address what coach might have been thinking. So here is the question for Coach Parker.
Did you order the code red?
Did you order the code red?
Thanks, Daniel Caffey from Virginia, for the question for the mailbag. I absolutely think, all right, Coach Parker ordered the code red, and I'm glad he did it, all right? I don't know what Mercer's problem is with the red pants. I really don't get it. We didn't understand it from the first time. Then he doesn't let him wear them, and the whole season gets canceled for COVID. We already brought that up last April Fool's Day. We know that they win, okay? They win, and they win at the BART, and they win, Mercer, okay? Parker, hell of a job calling the code red. All right, we understand why you had to do it. The man wasn't there. You saw your opportunity, and you took it. And I like it. Good work, Coach Parker. Do it again if you have to. And speaking of fans of the Sunday Reds, I know Cassidy Palmer is a huge fan. Why? Because we win in them. And the statistics prove that out all the time. So I know Cass is a big fan of the Sunday Reds, so it's a perfect segue into her statistics segment. Cass, what do you got for us?
Thanks for tossing it over to me here in Florida for a nice little stats update. Now, we've seen a lot about the IU pitching numbers and how absolutely ridiculous they've been so far this season. And I'd be remiss not to mention those. Currently, the Hoosiers are 4th nationally in earned run average, and they sit 2nd in hits per 9 and whip, walks and hits per innings pitched. But I should also note that the team in front of them has only played 1 game, so that, yeah. And they are actually 1st in runs allowed per game. That's always great to see high up on the national rankings, but digging a little deeper, the Hoosier pitching staff is still averaging about 11 strikeouts per game, which is still way above the normal pace for IU, and they're striking out about 1 batter an inning, a little bit over, and so that's also very good to see. Going with that, and also just as important, they're giving up less than a walk every other inning. It's actually closer to a walk every 3rd inning. Again, with those high strikeout numbers, we love seeing the low walk numbers as well. Specifically on the weekend, the pitching staff gave up just over 3 hits a game. no team is going to be able to score much on three hits a game, especially when we're not walking guys, like I mentioned before. And to follow up on my note from last week about 50% of the hits going for extra bases, on the weekend it was down to about 30%, which is a much more manageable number. Usually those stabilize in the 20s, maybe up to 30% is where those tend to stabilize. So it's nice seeing water find its level even just a couple of weeks in. Now, on the offensive side, while we know the pitching has been the story so far, they have been phenomenal. The bats have not been all that quiet either. On the weekend, they hit .277. And at the moment, through eight games, five different guys who qualify for the stats list, they've had enough plate appearances in the games. Five of those guys are hitting above .300 so far. And so that's really encouraging to see. It's a dangerous lineup, top to bottom, and that really helps throw off some of the opposing pitching staffs. And on the weekend, they also walked in 11% of their plate appearances. And anytime you're getting above 10, you're doing pretty well. Pairing that with single digit strikeouts in all four games. We heard this story over the last few years, strikeouts, strikeouts, strikeouts. I remember a particularly painful Tennessee series pretty recently. So to see single-digit strikeouts in all four games of a four-game weekend, you're not going to get any complaints from me. It worked out to about 23% of plate appearances on the weekend, or of at-bats on the weekend, but that goes down to 17% in game four. My goal is anything under 20, in all honesty. And the other thing that stands out right now is the Hoosiers are mostly capitalizing when they get on base. On the weekend, they left less than 8 on base per game over the course of the weekend, and they actually only left 4 runners on base in scoring position per game on the weekend. And I'd like to see that number in scoring position go down just a little bit, but you get instances of 2-out doubles or triples and things like that that can kind of play with that number. But overall, offense has been solid, and the pitching staff has been absolutely dominating. And so that'll wrap on the stats update from Florida.
Thanks, Cass. From wherever you filmed that, I'm not really sure. Hopefully it was someone near the NASA setup. And now we're going to have Carl update us on some Big Ten, you know, happenings, work went on around in the conference, and a little bit of a preview from that team near the Wabash River.
Thank you, Chris. The Big Ten has pretty much gone the way we would expect it. The only real surprise I would say so far is that Maryland has struggled a bit out of the gate, but the truth is Maryland has already started to recover this past weekend. They are 3-5. This is a 44-game season. There's a lot that they can do to improve where they're sitting at. The bottom of the pack is Purdue, who I'm about to talk about as far as the next series for Indiana goes. But when you read down the order, nothing is massively shocking. Northwestern's done a little bit better than expected, so is Michigan State. But then again, there's a lot of questions about these teams, both in opportunity and concerns. So we're just going to have to watch the season play out. What's nice is every Big Ten team is going to play every other Big Ten team, barring any, you know, COVID issues or weather issues. But for the most part, everyone's scheduled. It's going to be 44 games. We're going to see everybody and should get a true champion out of it. Purdue is up next for the Hoosiers. Purdue has struggled. They are 1-7. Their one win was the first game of the season against Nebraska, and then they dropped 3 straight from Nebraska, and then dropped 4 with Michigan. Michigan is a nationally ranked team. There's really nothing to be embarrassed about for Purdue from having lost that series. There is a concern to some degree that 3 of those total losses that Purdue has had so far have been shutouts. And also that half of their losses have included giving up 9-plus runs. So the Purdue Boilermakers have some work to do, and facing the other leading team in the league in Indiana is probably not the thing they want to do. As far as people to look at, the returning folks are going to be catcher Zach Fascia, who hits left-handed and has got a great arm. Skylar Hunter, he's their leadoff hitter and a very fast outfielder. Those are the two veteran pieces that they are really going to be relying on. A lot of other pieces they're going to be relying on are going to be transfers. They've got a couple of pitchers that are JUCO transfers that are expected to be a big deal, and that is Shapira and Starnes. They also have Nolan Daniels, who is projected to be the closer. One more transfer I will mention. Hoosier fans should recognize the name Justin Walker. He had played for IU for two seasons. He is now with the Boilermakers and is expected to be their starting shortstop. So we will get to see Justin Walker when he plays at the BART and returns to the BART this weekend, but this time in a Boilermaker uniform. Well, at this point, we've now seen 2 weeks of baseball. So let's have a bit of a roundtable discussing where the team is at this point of the season. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really just like the toughness and resiliency of this team shown early on. We talked about the 5-1 comeback, but even go back to the beginning of the season, they lost 2-1 to start and have reeled off 7 straight. Since then, seems like the guys trust each other, you know, pass it on down the line, trust that your teammates got your back. And so far it's worked out really well for the Hoosiers.
I feel like we see that whether it's a big lead in a few of the games or even in the tight ones, more from the home games, I guess, because it was so quiet and weird and you could hear the dugouts and you could hear them talking to each other. I feel like I noticed more things like, Tommy making sure he pounds the guy's chest when he's coming in for the bullpen, guys supporting each other so much. And it never felt like, I don't know, those games were close and then they got blown open late. But really, it was the same buzz throughout. There was never like a lull from the dugout. Like, it would only got more wild and more and much energy from them. And these are against teams, no offense to them, but like we're not playing the excellent teams yet where they might only get jacked up for the big names. Like, I think this time off has really led to these guys just being so pumped to put the uniform on. Mm-hmm.
That is the case. But then again, boy, these are conference games. It is so weird that we're opening right it up into the conference game. Each one of these count towards the standings in a season in which you may have to win the conference to play in June.
Yeah, to your point on that, Carl, them all being conference games, I think that'll help the good teams in the conference. We've seen in the past, it's hard for some guys to get up for the midweek games against whoever the smaller schools are. So having these 4-game sets on the weekend and, you know, not having those games to maybe hurt you, I think that'll help because our guys will be up for all these. And so I think, you know, you're not going to have that experimentation sometimes that you might have in the midweek games. So I think that's going to be playing to our strengths this year.
It did seem like sometimes we would be with a whole nother mindset on the midweek, right? Whether it was using the bullpen or a whole completely different lineup coming out there. One thing that seemed pretty consistent, I don't have it in front of me, but what has there been, 8 games? Those 8 starting lineups have been pretty similar, mm-hmm. You know, minus 1 or 2 guys. And who knows what those decisions were about, but he's just rolling these guys back out there. Yeah. It's this bench guys just aren't going to have a shot, you know, for now. This is one of those seasons where it's going to be like that. The roster's stacked. Can't really afford a 2-game losing streak, or not too many of them.
Yeah. But the good news is, you know, hey, Brandon Rowe was ready. You know, when his number got called, when Cole had that rough slide, he got his name called and he delivered. So hopefully, you know, we're going to see that from, you know, from all the guys that are on the bench that, hey, there's a chance their number's going to get called. And if they come in, I mean, it's very possible we don't win that game without the performance he had. So,
yeah, two hits and great defense down at third.
Mm-hmm. And even I think some of the pitchers are going to have to take it on the sleeve this year, some of the young arms, because how many times are they going to take the field, right? On a regular season, not too many freshmen get in. Now you have this stacked pen and stacked starting lineup, starting rotation. a lot of these freshman arms aren't just going to get a chance. I remember I was talking to somebody at the bar over the weekend, Paulie Milto, right? He came in as a freshman. He barely pitched, right? He is the second leading strikeout leader in the career K's for IU baseball.
Yep. Yep.
So you just never know. So, and if you come to a program and you could start as a freshman on the weekend, what kind of program did you come to anyway? Right? You want to be able to earn your stripes that freshman year and move up. But I really don't know how much time these young guys are going to get out there. This team is really loaded.
Well, I mean, who would have thought that we'd have a four-game series and we wouldn't see Braden Scott?
It's a perfect example, man. That dude was the killer last year. He was like a hitman. Yeah. He doesn't get to pitch.
Yeah, I mean, he warmed up at one point, but, you know, it was the guy who was out there was taking care of business. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to complain. 15 runs in 8 games, 2.01 ERA, and a 127 batting average against. I mean, hey, somebody's going to have to make a major slip up for some of the other guys to get in, but that's a good problem to have. And those guys are going to sit back and learn from that. And like you mentioned, Paulie, hey, pay your dues. They'll get their shot. That's a good problem to have.
You know, the structure of the games is also kind of depends on kind of determines how a lot of this goes. Remember, 2 of the games this past weekend were 7-inning games. That's a new animal for IU to deal with. And I think they may have to really take a good look at that. I would think you might want to even consider going ahead and having a guy like McCade Brown maybe pitch the 7-inning game if you have one in a week, simply from the factor that you don't have a lot of time to make up. And this team does tend to hit a little bit better off of bullpens and has a good ability to run guys. And maybe that's a scenario in which you want one of your primary guys to pitch one of those shorter games. And that's just one of those things you got to learn as the season progresses, because this is new. That's not what we're going to be seeing this coming week, but those will all be 9-inning games, unless weather or something delayed a game and caused a doubleheader. So
weather looks good.
Yeah,
weather looks good for Bloomington for the weekend. Highs of 50, 57, 64, all suns in the boxes, you know, no clouds even. All right, so that'll wrap it up for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Thanks for listening or watching or wherever you take us in. You can read us up on Indiana Baseball at iubase.com. We can give you some information on Twitter. That's see you at the BART or at iubase17. During games, you can check out at iubase17. We do the best you can to give you some information. We're lucky enough to be there. I understand it's a privilege. We take it seriously. We really want to try to get some information out there that maybe you're not going to get somewhere else. Absolutely, we know it's a privilege. I don't want to take it for granted whatsoever. You can also follow us on YouTube on the Talking Hoosier Baseball YouTube channel. We put game clips, game day media, availabilities, whatever we got, we're going to put it out there. Trust me. So for Carl James, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, I'm Chris Feeney, and we'll see you at the BART when we can.